Ahoy hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, the land behemoth of Simpsons podcasts. I'm your host, Bob Mackey, and if you didn't know, this is Later Time Simpsons podcast. Of course you know. You paid for this. Come on, give me a break.
You can't accidentally stumble upon this.
I know, and if you did, how did you find us?
Yeah, shame.
It's a true crime. So yeah, we go through every episode in chronological order. It's a companion piece. You know the deal. So let's talk about today's episode, and that is called The Simpsons. Mm. But first, I'm Bob Mackey. Who else is here?
Chris Antista.
Henry Gilbert.
I'm Dave Rudden, and I'm a brilliant beast.
Awesome. So this episode aired on February 18th, 1990, and Chris will let us know what the hell happened in this crazy time in our lives.
Oh, that's right, Bob. That's right, Bobby. On this week in history, February 18th, 1990, Malcolm Forbes magazine magnet passes away. Janet Jackson's escapade tops the pop charts. Yeah. Men Don't Leave, a movie I've never heard of, is at the top of the box office. And an Alaskan grand jury indicts criminal charges and a $640 million fine on the Exxon Valdez oil spill.
Man, remember all those Exxon Valdez jokes about drunk... Mm-hmm. Captains of things.
There will never be a worse disaster with oil, right?
Certainly not.
Of course not.
Originally the worst in history, though.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So before I start, I brought some goodies here. But I will take them home. No one has them. No one will get them. Okay. But they are based on this episode. They are the Burger King Kids Club toys. They are from Ohio from 25 years ago. These are ones I got from eating disgusting food that my parents bought for me.
Describe the episode a little bit. Look at that. It's large. Holding a book about birds.
This is the camping episode, and that's
Bart
basically...
Bart has packed a TV in his backpack.
A miniature TV.
What a scamp.
All you have is Marge and Bart?
I don't have the whole set.
Man, you are not a real fan, Bob.
My mom was a single mom, but she wasn't that single of a mom. So
I'm glad you mentioned that.
What's the description of this episode,
buddy? So basically, this is the camping episode. There's not much more to say. The Simpsons go camping, get stranded through the fault of Homer,
and
they have to find their way out of the situation. Yeah. I mean, it's the gaggiest, the jokiest, the cartooniest episode to date.
But you brought up the toys. Like, there were no... I couldn't find a lot of toy merchandise for The Simpsons at this stage. And I think the Burger King toys were kind of first.
Yeah. There was any real
I had the
figures,
action figures,
right?
Like in season 2 or 3
yeah,
or
yeah.
something.
But these are like the first things you can own in The Simpsons, but they're all themed in stupid camping gear. So here is a clip
with a dumb joke of birds in her hair.
Let's let Billy West narrate a Burger King commercial and tell us about
it. Oh, Billy West.
We're just hanging out. Why not hop into Burger King and find out how to join the kids club?
Look out, nature. The Simpsons are coming. Burger King's taking all of them camping, including you-know-who. Now you can get one Simpsons character and camping scene in every Kids Club meal at Burger King.
I don't have the camping scenes because I think they're just cardboard standees. Yeah. So they disintegrate. They're in a landfill somewhere.
No kid could keep those safe.
Yeah.
It's funny because the Simpsons and Burger King have had a partnership for forever.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. They did
it
with the movie. They did it.
There were toys.
Yeah, they had Halloween toys just a couple years ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember those plush toys.
Yeah, one still exists on the front of a Humvee in the movie Three Kings. I wrote about that in something hopefully people will see soon.
Wow.
This episode, as they mentioned on the commentary, Mike Reese kind of cynically says that it's around this point in most primetime cartoons that the writers go, we're sick of these settings, we're sick of this stuff, let's just take them camping. And every show does have a camping episode.
It's true.
I was just thinking this when I watched Bob's Burgers camping episode
recently.
Wait,
this flip real quick.
The Simpsons have entered the forest.
Is this really the first The Simpsons are going to blank?
I guess it is the first of those two. And this is a John Swartzwelder script, which is obvious because it is the wackiest
episode. It is so gaggy. It's like if The Roadrunner and Coyote went camping. It is just a series of gags.
I think that's why they made these toys, because I think this is the most kid-friendly Simpsons of
the
first season.
Yeah.
It's mostly visual gags.
Yeah, nobody's depressed.
Except at the
nobody's
beginning.
Nobody's depressed, you're right, Dave.
Except at the beginning, there's some good interplay with Homer and Flanders.
Oh, yeah.
How do you like my new wheels, Simpson?
Oh, wow, man. What an RV.
Bart! I suppose it has various features.
Oh, it's got everything. Microwave, dishwasher, big screen TV, deep fryer, and... see up there on the roof?
A satellite dish.
Yes, indeedly doodly.
But how can you afford something like this, Ned? I get your mail once in a while, and you make only $27 a week more than I do.
Oh, it's simple, Simpson. Credit.
Ooh, credit.
Jesus.
I wrote that down. I can't believe Flanders is that poor.
I can't believe he's that poor, and that's Flanders' solution to getting things you can't afford.
Do we know what Flanders did before he opened the Leftorium?
He was a pharmacist.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a pharmacist. He probably made a lot more than Homer.
He had to have. I mean, I think they established later that Homer makes $5 an hour in, like, 1994.
This is a weird episode, too. I think it is one of the first times they ever... Like, this is something you'd say the Simpsons messed up when they had Homer just pull thousands of dollars out of his pocket and say, here, boy, just buy this cell of Itchy and Scratchy. But in this episode, it's just like, oh, yeah, I'll just buy this thing. And it will explode with all our things in it. And this would ruin the family of that is like running out of money in Homer's Odyssey.
For sure.
This would ruin that family, and yet it's just a one-off joke. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I want to point out this is another first. This is the first James L. Brooks crossover with one A. Brooks.
Yes.
Almost uncredited. I love this character.
I'm not going to quote you price till I check your credit rating. And let me, I want to make myself clear on this. This is a formality. If you're saying to me, Bob, is this guy good for it? I say, yes. I don't check this machine. But I don't own the place, even though my name's up there. Long story, but that doesn't matter. I'm going to have to run it through the computer.
Is that a good siren? Am I approved?
You ever known a siren to be good? No, Mr. Simpson, it's not. It's a bad siren. That's the computer in case I went blind telling me sell the vehicle to this fellow and you're out of business. That's what the siren says. Oh.
That feels like the first and only time. The only person they let riff.
Oh yeah,
on Mike, because like all of his scenes go on way longer than any other non-Simpsons character.
They mentioned on the commentary they had to get rid of Marge's and Lisa's story because Albert Brooks ad-libbed for so long. There was like 30 minutes of him and Dan Castellaneta just going back and forth. So that was like so good.
It was both of them. It sounded a little organic, like them going back and forth.
I mean, that's also like say with Hank Scorpio, that definitely is the way they recorded it too.
Wow.
Brooks was making up a lot of stuff, and it was mostly and Homer was reacting.
In case you
to
don't
it.
Know. People as an animation fan, that happens so little. Rango's marketing campaign was based on the idea that the actors were in the same room together recording.
Like, I watch Dr. Katz. I'm way ahead of the game here.
But it is something like this never happens anymore. Like, no, this doesn't happen in like 10 years.
We should say he plays Bob, not Sideshow Bob.
No.
And he is used RV salesman or just RV salesman?
RV salesman. I have never not wanted an RV in my entire life.
Oh, man.
When I thought I was being kicked out of my apartment, I'm like, I got $1,500 and I can buy a used RV. And my girlfriend had talked me out of it. I had plans of parking outside of our corporate building.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you could have been a terrifying drifter.
Someday I will do it.
You really can tell Albert Brooks is doing a lot of riffing. Earlier, it was actually cut for syndication. So when I saw it on the DVD, I like, oh, I totally forgot about this. But he's basically, when trying to do the sale with Homer, he's talking about like, you look kind of like a Greek god to me.
To my office.
Come
on, Zeus. Zeus.
Yeah.
I like the line where you say, got four deep fryers, one for each part of the chicken.
We should mention that Homer went to this RV lot because he sees Flanders' RV, and he immediately gets jealous. I mean, there's a big back and forth with Flanders and Homer with these first two seasons before Flanders becomes like the mega Christian, that kind of person.
And what is it, Todd Flanders being a jerk to Bart?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
on his riding mower. No one owns that kind of mower that Bart uses now. Right?
I'll tell you what. Walking home in Berkeley one day, I saw a new version of that mower sitting on the side of a curb.
Holy
shit. People are still making those old push mowers.
Hipsters have lawnmowers now?
I guess so.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Probably pushing a while, drinking a Pabst.
It's a fair trade lawnmower.
Well, then again,
this is an original Flintstones baby Mastodon vacuum cleaner.
We live in a place with few lawns, so maybe we're just not seeing those lawnmowers.
Yeah.
Albert Brooks is great. He's like, this is one of an underrated Albert Brooks character. Scorpio's his best.
What celebrity guest voice has been on The Simpsons at this point?
He was the first, though technically Penny Marshall was. Yeah. She's a babysitter
in episode
bandit.
One.
Yeah, she would have been the first.
But like, they don't mention,
never came back.
It's not marketed that way at all. And I have to think that at this time, Albert Brooks was never bigger. And nobody said anything about it.
He still wasn't big.
He was. In the 90s, 80s, he's about to make Defending Your Life, arguably his greatest movie ever.
The commentary mentions they were kind of skittish about attaching their names to this because they didn't know if it would be famous. Like, do you want to be associated with this thing if it just tanks horribly and is known as the primetime cartoon that couldn't work?
It's a Fox cartoon about this yellow family that has 3-minute cartoons on here, and most of them are just like, look, I like you, Jim Brooks. I'll just do this.
In season two, Dustin Hoffman was not credited. He was credited as Sam Edick.
Yeah, that's true.
Medic.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I mean, I guess that's how early the show was. And the Simpsons go off on a camping trip. And I just got this scene.
Oh, and that was the first ever deedly doodly, by the way.
Oh, was it?
Really?
Yeah. The first time Flanders has ever said anything like that.
Just the Simpsons, like, having not found its legs completely, just the music that is occurring in the car on their way to vacation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No. Waterhouse?
Nope. What are you doing back there?
We're playing What's That Odor?
Dad's feet?
Bark!
You win, Bark!
We talk!
Are we there yet, Dad?
I'll tell you when we get there. Go back to your smell game.
And then that gets really Simpsons.
That is an actual song.
It's called The Happy Wanderer. I looked it up.
Oh my God, Bobby.
I do want to mention one thing. Like, Flanders does have some of his better characterization when Homer, like, wants to gloat over the shitty RV that he eventually gets. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, Flanders, look at this. And he's like, have fun, Simpson. He's like, he's really excited for him. It's like a great Flanders.
Yeah, like, that looks very nice. Yeah. Enjoy your trip.
Instead of easily, Flanders could go like, that looks like a piece of crap, and so do you, Homer. But this... This was
what Henry would say.
This was the start of, it's at least what I think, but this was the start of Flanders being the nice guy to Homer being the jackass. And this also, everybody gets in a costume change too. Yeah. Like, everybody wears a different outfit.
Yeah, Bart has a green shirt in this episode. Yeah,
as seen on that
And no clothes.
And did it establish his lucky red hat?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It gets lost. So really, he never has a lucky red hat again, but I guess he just buys a new one.
And I don't have a lot of sound clips from this, because a lot of this is, like, super embarrassing, like, clear Elmer Fuddian setups to visual gags. If I put this here, then a rabbit will come. It's like, all of it is like that. Setting up gags.
There aren't any dangerous animals in the forest, are there, Dad?
Well, might be a few, but don't worry about it. If you leave them alone, they'll leave you alone.
It's a deal.
And remember not to act afraid. Animals can smell fear, and they don't like it. Besides, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Right.
A rattler!
Oh, I'm not afraid. Run, you fool.
All right. Though, they just let... To get Maggie to have a separate story, Marge and Lisa just have to look at Maggie walking behind Bart and Homer and see that Bart and Homer don't realize Maggie's there. And they're just like, yeah, Maggie will be fine. Like, really?
Marge implicitly trusts Homer, and she should know him a lot better by now.
Because
like, when they're at their own little camp and she's like rearranging the chipmunks, she's like, oh, I'm sure they're fine. Your father knows what he's doing. And it's like, Marge, you should know Homer better than that.
But still, hey, you hipster fucking Fit Simpsons fans, looking at you, Bob and Hank.
I still like this episode.
The Invincible Homer stuff is on display the entire time.
Absolutely.
All that happens to Bart, too.
He's going off cliffs in this episode.
He's eating bees.
And also, it was the first time like an explosion off screen when it drops down, their RV drops down and explodes off screen. That's totally...
I will say that's a hallmark of what made The Simpsons great, is not showing everything that happens.
But a primetime cartoon thing, too, of just like, this thing fell and then it explodes, even though maybe wouldn't explode in real life. To the point that, like, you know, in a few years we would see... Alan Poe's house, or Edgar Allan Poe's house, fall off of something and then start to burst into flames.
I'm really surprised by like how fucking gaggy the Simpsons episode is. I thought this would be the one, like, this is where they find the humor. I'm like, not entirely.
No, I love how silly this episode is.
I mean, the rabbit catching gag.
That I think is the one that made me laugh the hardest of any joke this season. I think it is.
And you flush a rabbit out of that bush, and I'll step on it.
Step on him. Yeah. Got it. And another. Just the sound of the rabbit being flung, and just like the little sound of it hitting the ground, like, and you know this rabbit just like exploded. Yeah.
A very Binky-esque rabbit too. From
yeah,
like,
it was. Yeah.
And also, he grows in the bush and comes out with all the animals on him. I think all
that's
of that
a classic
is,
Homer thing, too. That would happen.
I think that's an aspect of Homer none of you guys like in the current episodes. Were he to do that in a new episode, you guys would say that's shitty and not what Homer does.
Well, when that badger attacks Homer in a there's a storyline in the teens where a badger lives in the doghouse and Homer gets attacked by the badger and it rips his stomach flesh off. Like, though, right before the rabbit gets flung, there's an underrated line right before that where Bart says, like, when he sees Homer making the thing to catch the rabbit in, Bart says, what are we going to do, hang ourselves?
We are kind of...
there's still some depression in this episode.
Yeah, it's like, there is suicide. We are kind of jumping all over the place. There's no real structure to this episode. And Al Jean and Mike, sorry, John Swartzwelder said that, Al Jean and Mike Reese are on the commentary, but apparently the third act came out of nowhere, the Bigfoot thing. They just needed a way to wrap things up.
And I know, it is such a turn. The Bigfoot thing is such a turn.
Before we get to that, though, I did want to bring up, I think we have the first singular doe that is not part of a longer phrase. It is like when Homer is yelling off the cliff and it's like, I've murdered us all. Yeah.
I do love that line.
That's my line of the episode.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I wish I grabbed it.
And when the family hears it, he goes, dope, like that. And I think that could be the first singular doe.
A couple of notes I have. Evergreen Terrace is seen to be on a hill for the first time.
Wow.
The only time.
Just
until,
for the driving of the... Yeah, for that one
until
driving
Simpsons
shot.
Road Rage. And Maggie is... See, it's weird seeing Maggie in purple. Like, it feels like... Yeah. Even though everybody's in a different outfit, everybody's off color. However... remember in the Dr. Marvin Monroe episode, There's No Disgrace Like Home, we had that hyper bitter couple talking.
Why don't you both shut up?
It's Hank Azaria and Maggie Roswell?
Roswell, yeah.
And they both play like the same couple again.
They're really funny in this scene.
This guy's a huge dick.
Dark Simpson shit.
Great camping trip, honey. Traveled 800 miles, haven't even seen a squirrel yet.
Well, the ranger at the gate said we should watch out for bears.
Ooh, bears. Right. Let me show you how many bears there are around here. Hello, bears! come on, have a donut! Oh, what the heck? Have me! Come and get!
All right, you made your point.
Bears.
See, I look at this now and like... Like I think I watched it growing up. I'm like, well, yeah, that's just how everybody behaves.
Yeah.
And
now everybody's like, passive aggressive.
And now it's like, man, I hope I do. I know I've been that guy. I'm like, oh, I'm never going to be that guy again.
They're having a terrible trip, aren't they? Yep. Yeah.
This family in the middle of like a divorce, but they've just had a new baby.
And they hate one another.
That hideous baby too.
That is an ugly baby. It kind of looks like Gerald a bit, like the precursor to Gerald, the one-eyebrowed baby.
Yeah. And also, you know, we have all these arcade sound effects in this episode. Mm-hmm. This is a whole stage in the arcade level.
The bear itself.
That's right,
which is also beautifully
Bigfoot's
animated.
And Bigfoot's attack you, too. Like,
that's
guys
true.
Covered in mud as Bigfoot attack you.
So Homer goes off to chase... he's swallowed a bunch of bees and is looking for water.
That scene's really good. I actually kind of like that scene. It is... Hey. It is... Homer is so stupid in that scene.
Yeah. It is my second favorite Homer bee scene.
It is the height... It is the height of Homer's stupidity.
Oh, they're defending themselves. Somehow.
It is the height of Homer stupidity in season one, I think,
He plunges his hand into the hive and Bart's like, how's the honey? He's like, it's good. It's like, what about the bees? And he just like realizes that there are bees in a beehive.
Well, yeah, that Homer's like, look, honey. And then Bart says, bees. And they're like, because they're flying around it. There's no reason Homer wouldn't notice there's bees all over that. And then it just strikes him as shocking, like, oh, yeah, bees. These will sting me. It's so strange. Yeah. Also, Bart is so... At his age, I don't think I would have been that comfortable, like, walking around naked with my dad.
The part where he dresses his son up in parts of, like... the
moss and mud.
They're behind the bush, like... Yeah,
he's putting it on him. If I was, I would have been like, Dad, I'm 10. I can put my own mud on my ass.
Yeah.
Okay?
braced for a poison ivy joke, and they didn't do it, so I'm going to give the writer some credit here.
Yeah, they could have went there.
That would have been too obvious. And also, Marge and Lisa are not worried in the least.
No,
not
they're having
the least.
A gay old time building a fire by themselves.
That's a very John Swartzwelder joke, too, and like... Marge is just rearranging those chipmunks on a thing, and they just stay still like they're just a lamp or a paperweight.
I didn't even notice that.
It was a cute little joke.
Yeah, it was a very Marge-style joke. Like, she's getting her own jokes now, finally.
Mm-hmm. And then it takes that huge turn in the third act where Homer is Bigfoot, and it's the hunt for Bigfoot in the Springfield Woods.
Even the commentary folks are like, why does anyone believe he's Bigfoot? Like, they're questioning their own scripts. Like,
once they've washed the mud off him, they're like, you know, he's a human. This is a human man. We know who this is.
It takes it a little further. There's just, like, to me, that's when the show finds the Simpsons moment.
Yeah.
And there's one really good, like, it's like there's no bears, and he's like, the news guy's like, get out of here, we said no bears, and like, that's the perfect Simpsons joke. Not given enough time.
Get those bears out of here.
Get those bears
come
out
on
of here.
Bears, get out of here. Shoo.
And the bears look sad and run away.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you're right. That is very understated. Yeah, I forgot that was a joke.
That would have, that, yeah, like two seasons from now, that'll be the big Simpsons joke.
Yeah.
And it's just thrown away here.
Well, also, that ending, that I feel like that ending would be one. If that was a season 12 ending, we would have complained, mm-hmm. like, what a stupid ending. Like, yeah. It's so obviously a human. Mm. Why would they think, when they wash the mud off him, he's a man who says his name is Homer?
There are some good jokes they get out of this bit, though. Like, when they're interviewing Marge and every statement she says causes a newspaper to spin onto the screen.
That would have been my line of the show, except the lines are not said. Marge sets up newspaper headlines. It's awesome. No, it's not Bigfoot, it's Homer, news headline. Bigfoot calls himself his Homer.
Though, like, later becoming a member of the media, like, realizing, oh, anytime I do an interview, this is not one story. This is four stories that I have to, like, because people will not read the whole thing.
Yeah,
I've got to parse four stories out of this.
Yeah. Oh man, I've got to do that next time with an interview.
Yeah, we'll never do that again.
Yeah, we'll never interview things. But and I did like too when he said coast to coast,
coast to coast.
Yeah, that guy had a Homer beard. Face too, which you never see in later seasons.
And I hate that I seem to be the arbiter of this. Well, I swear I'd like to put it to panel. Line of the show.
That's the joke.
I either want to give it to Homer once he's darted, just because I think it's a great joke.
Dad! Oh, Dad!
Avenge me, son. Avenge my death.
I did love that.
Yeah.
Both Bart and Homer experience real grief in this episode. Like, Homer thinks that Bart's dead for a second when his hat pops up.
Yeah.
And Bart thinks his dad is dead.
But I also want to give it... I love this sequence from not Kent Brockman for some reason. Was that... Mm-hmm. Did you say that was a joke initially? That everybody would be substituting for Kent Brockman?
Yeah, they'd say, this is the Kent Brockman show with Kent Brockman. And that's in the crusty...
Scott something or other with the afro? Is that
Scott Christian? Yeah.
But this is also not Kent Brockman, but Harry Shearer's voice doing a newscaster.
Now, the naturalist who took these absolutely extraordinary pictures was most impressed by the creature's uncivilized look, its foul language, and most of all, its indescribable stench. A popular supermarket tabloid has offered a reward of $5,000 to anyone who brings in the creature alive. Naturally, we'll have more on this story as soon as it develops. We now return you to the president's address already in progress.
Yes, that was a good joke. I
fucking love that.
That was a great line. My favorite line of the show is when they're watching Homer's diagnosis on TV, and then Homer's reaction was just like, the guys at work are going to have a field day with this. Like, really?
I don't know.
You make national news, and I love that line.
That just got, like, so regular sitcom-y for me.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Marv Monroe's in this episode.
Yes,
like, somehow he's a Bigfoot expert, too.
And he's
like, we cannot determine.
He totally forgot his interaction with Homer.
Yeah. I guess that's true. Yeah. Like, Homer nearly ruined his business.
Like, oh, yeah, I remember this guy.
I paid this guy money. So he would never come to my place again, and bought him a TV, basically.
That's how long it's been since I've seen this episode. I didn't remember Marvin Monroe being in anything else.
Yeah, me too.
And another of my favorite lines was, describe your marital relations. Like, that was... that brutish?
Yeah, I said it before. I've murdered us all. It's just great.
That was a good line.
There's one line. I think he just says more applesauce when he's like just eating a pork chop in the tube. He just said more applesauce. That's all I remember.
Yeah, and I don't know what it was at the time. I thought the only way to escalate a story with your characters was to go to camp. Mm-hmm. I believe I mentioned this in a later time, but that I wrote a spec script for Gremlins where it happens at camp, inspired by the hijinks.
Christmas Gremlins go to summer camp, Chris?
Yeah.
That line in the show I was naming, that discounts everything that A. Brooks did. Like, honestly, I think his few minutes on screen are easily the funniest in the whole episode.
It makes sense why they gave him so much time for such a perfunctory scene. Like, they need to get the RV. Let's have him talk to this sleazy guy.
It's also rapid fire that it's tough to pick out one thing. Like, see that guy over there? He's going to buy this.
He's going to buy it right now.
He told me, keep the little one on hold. I'm doing it right now.
It's kind of mumbly and not as like, I don't know, punctuated as Hank Scorpio or like his other characters.
Actually, you got to talk to those humans over there. There's something wrong with all of us.
Yeah. It's like, see that guy over there? He bought this.
Kill your son. This has blah blah blah.
Yeah, he's great, and I'm glad A. Brooks is like their other than Kelsey Grammer and Phil Hartman, their most recurring voice probably of a real guest star. Marcia Wallace is technically a guest star.
I think she
sure.
shouldn't even count any. She's a guest star every episode, right?
Actually, I don't
know. Oh, wait, wait. No, Miss Krabappel?
Yeah, Miss Krabappel.
She's like a featured player or whatever, maybe.
More
yeah,
a feature player. But though she wanted for she won Emmys for guest star roles and stuff. But anyway, yeah, Abe Brooks is great. So great that he was in the movie.
Albert
they Henry. Made they made Albert Brooks.
Tough, soft. Tough.
Okay, you know what? I'll call him Albert Einstein. That's what
that's his real name.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, fuck his parents, seriously.
Bob Einstein changed his name to Super Dave.
Super Dave. I think it's back to Bob Einstein.
Larry.
God, his voice is so great.
You can't do this, Larry.
So are we going to wrap this up? I think we said all we could.
So.
There's just a bunch of physical humor, and I think the show needed this episode by this point because like everyone was depressed in every episode up to this point. And I loved it up until this point, but this episode as a kid was just like, this is just a cartoon. Like this is literally just
this
a cartoon.
This is the cartooniest episode of The Simpsons,
but
I'll
that
say
is
ever.
That's what John Swartzwelder gives to all his future episodes too. He wrote Bart the General, but this is so, which also gets a bit cartoony, but this heightens it to much more of a degree.
I think
this is the indestructible Homer and the idiot Homer and the horribly smelly monster Homer that John Swartzwelder does so well in season 10.
I think he said he writes Homer like he's a dog.
Yeah. A dog and that can say his own name.
Exactly. That's what he's like in this episode. Like just digging, like sticking his hand into a beehive and like just, it's great.
Or just wandering
into rolling
in
an ant bed.
Wandering into a bear den. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess we didn't talk about the Maggie subplot. I mean,
yeah, she runs off.
It's adorable, but
it's great. But it's so like, I don't know. It feels really out of place.
It does. It's a little too.
It felt like a short
syrupy. Yeah.
It's cutie. It's just so fucking cartoony. Which I'll say, in the next episode is where like I feel like The Simpsons totally finds itself.
Yeah.
For the first time,
this is the most that Maggie will have to do in years.
Yes.
The next episode I can remember that has big Maggie subplot is when she goes to the daycare thing. It's like
Escape thing.
That's a streetcar episode. But I did kind of like the joke of the bears bringing her tons of toys because it would be impossible to find those in the woods unless he's stealing them all from that horrible family.
It seems like they're better parents than The Simpsons. Maybe that's the underlying joke. The bears are better parents.
I think that's important to point out because Maggie is given no fucking attention at some point in the show. And in these last couple episodes, she does get a great gag at least once per show.
Yeah. Well, and the bears are a boss fight. They are a boss fight in The Simpsons arcade.
It turns out when you beat the bear, it's like a person.
Yeah,
it's like one of those fat pink guys.
I wonder if that was like a commandment by Groening or something. I'm just like, well, you don't want them to actually beat up a wild animal.
That's crazy.
It a bad
that
guy.
Means there's like that whole Simpsons game is based off the first season, so there's like four episodes they didn't mine material for.
Yeah.
Smithers' many henchmen.
I don't think anybody's dead from this episode.
No, I don't think so.
Or even a reference. I don't think there's a reference to somebody who's dead.
I don't either. I think that's probably why it feels so. There's not a lot of pop culture or like timeliness in the
episode. I mean, print is dead.
Yeah, tabloids are dead. Now they're all Gawker. Yeah.
4x3 TVs are dead. The one in the trailer.
I grabbed that Flanders line because I'm waiting for him to describe a piece of technology that doesn't exist anymore. And he never does.
Yeah.
He never does.
Satellite dish. Okay, yeah.
Big screen television. Yeah, we still have those.
They launch a satellite for the RV, according to Bob.
Yeah.
That was a funny. Yeah. Another great line.
Yeah.
Another great line.
So I guess we should wrap up. Let's do plugs real quick. As always, I am Bob Servo on Twitter. I also write for Something Awful, and I do my own classic gaming podcast, Retronauts, and you can find that at retronauts.com or usgamer.net. All these folks have been on it, and if you like video games, you should like that podcast. Jump in, everybody.
Cantista, I do the Laser Time show with a bunch of you guys. I say, listen every week. Twice. Twice.
And I'm HENEREYG on Twitter, and there's Kate Price's The Comic Book Podcast I do every week. And give it a listen, guys. I bet you'll like it.
I'm at Dave Rudden, and I host Cheap Podcast. I say listen out every other week, because that's how often I put it out.
Ooh, good
plan. Then every other week, we have commentaries on our Patreon for $10 donors and up
Ooh.
For wrestling matches.
Well, we'll see you guys next week with a brand new episode. See you then.